Dear brothers and sisters, the words "you will reap what you sow" before God doesn't only apply financially. It includes material possessions, but also the blessings given as fruit when you devote time, effort, and life. For example, Moses could have lived a peaceful life as the son of Pharaoh's daughter in Egypt. Yet, he forsook all wealth and glory and devoted himself to the kingdom of God. God guaranteed Moses with such great and wondrous power that he was regarded like a god. In heaven, he was given glory that shines like the sun. In regards to the law of sowing and reaping, Moses sowed his whole life before God and reaped great power and glory. Solomon also offered 1,000 burnt offerings and asked before God, reaping unparalleled wisdom. Because God was greatly pleased at the time, he also added riches, honor, and the blessing of longevity, which Solomon had not initially asked for. Cornelius, the centurion, sowed many acts of charity and good deeds. He was able to reap the blessing of salvation and even the blessing of evangelizing his whole household. The law of sowing and reaping applies to all aspects. When I look at the law of sowing and reaping, I realize that it applies to all aspects because Senior Pastor Emeritus Lee, all that he sowed was reaped not just for himself, but also for his family. And I was in primary school, in elementary school, when Pastor Emeritus Lee founded Mammon Central Church. And, you know, Pastor Myung Lee was the first daughter. She was a few years older. And, you know, before Pastor Myung Lee entered elementary school, Pastor Emeritus Lee would, back in the day, teach the Korean language, how to read and write, the basic foundations of Korean, and would, you know, grab some of the school textbooks, knowing that, you know, these textbooks would be used in the elementary school, and would help Pastor Myung Lee to study that, so that, you know, when the time she entered elementary school or the year after, you know, Pastor Myung Lee would be able to study well and knew her studies already before the teacher had taught her. And with this, Pastor Myung Lee was really quick to study. And Pastor Emeritus Lee had a goal of perhaps raising Pastor Myung Lee as a school teacher or a professor or whatnot, a different job title. And even for myself and my second older sister, Pastor Myung Lee, we never received tutoring. We never had after-school studies. We barely had extracurricular activities like piano or sports. We didn't have any of that. And there are certain, like, speech classes as well. But we never partook in any of those speech courses. But despite that, we would learn speech, proper speech, from Pastor Emeritus Lee. And when we would enter into speech contests, we would win, despite not receiving professional courses or separate tutoring. And back in the day, you know, there were Girl Scouts. And in the Girl Scouts in Korea, they would, you know, put up their own tents, they'd make their own foods, they'd have fun, they'd, you know, partake in
in team bonding activities. And when Pastor Myeon Lee entered the Girl Scouts, it cost a lot of money back in the day. And when Pastor Myeon Lee was able to enter the Girl Scouts program, she would wear really big clothes because the Girl Scouts would have was for three years, and in order to, you know, save on the uniforms, Pastor Myeon Lee would have to wear large clothes, larger than what her age would require. And all of these experiences was to, you know, make us grown as good, skilled people. And Pastor Meritus Lee always had great goals and visions for all three of his daughters to grow up with, you know, great jobs, great job titles, a good profession. But when Pastor Meritus Lee met Father God, you know, he set all those worldly goals aside. You know, set aside good professions. What he wanted was for his children, for his family to love Father God first. And Pastor Meritus Lee would, you know, stop putting fleshly love first and put spiritual love first. And whenever Pastor Meritus Lee would give us advice or speak to us, he would always remind us that, you know, we were to love Father God first and then the Lord. And of course, if, you know, his children were to love him as a dad, as a father third, then he was happy with that. He always taught us to always love God first. And it's not like, you know, we were able to see Pastor Meritus Lee often, but, you know, Pastor Meritus Lee stood firm as an upright, stature, so that we were able to love God first. And, you know, when I was at church, when I was younger, I was in the Nazareth Choir, which is for the younger generation. And if by chance I missed one of the choir sessions, I would receive a notice from Pastor Meritus Lee's secretarial team as to why I'd missed the choir. And in the choir, when the choir stands, Pastor Meritus Lee would always look towards the choir stand and have a, you know, a good idea of who's there and where people stand. So, of course, Pastor Meritus Lee would always check, you know, if there were people that were missing 1 week or 2 weeks here and there. And as his daughter, I'm sure he would see me well as well. And, you know, I would receive a call from the secretarial team if I'd missed the choir. And one time I fasted for 3 days, and after fasting, it was really hard on my body. You know, this was years ago when I was younger. And when I fasted, after finishing, I would be dizzy. And it was one of the reasons why I'd missed one of the Sunday choirs. And afterwards, after receiving a call from the secretarial team, I, no matter how dizzy I was, I would, you know, try my best to stand with the Nazareth Choir. And Pastor Meritus Lee always prayed, and he always said that he prayed for the family. And when I would hear that, I would always wonder what Pastor Meritus Lee would pray about. It made me very curious to, you know, see what kind of prayer titles would come from Pastor Meritus Lee when it was time for his family. And I finally found out one day what kind of prayer Pastor Meritously prayed about when it was time to pray for family. All Pastor Emeritus said was, you know, protect my family. Protect my family's, you know, their daily life. And may they, you know, always be prosperous and healthy and work for God. So it wasn't even in detail. It was very vague. And, you know, I realized that Pastor Emeritus Lee had the faith that despite praying vaguely for his own family and praying more in detail for church members and for, you know, outsiders, Pastor Emeritus Lee had true faith that Father God would guarantee his, you know, flesh and blood, his family. And, you know, Pastor Emeritus Lee didn't pray for worldly things, for fleshly attributes or fleshly earnings. It was, you know, a great focus on the spiritual for God's kingdom. You know, Pastor Emeritus Lee believed that Father God would guarantee his family. And once I heard that, and once I realized that, I was able to let go. That, you know, even though Pastor Emeritus Lee prays vaguely for his own family, that God will look after us. And I use that as a good lesson for my own life as well. And that, you know, praying for the church, praying for other people more in depth, but knowing and believing that God will guarantee my family. Pastor Emeritus Lee always sowed spiritually. And as you know, all three of his daughters, myself and my two sisters, received the inheritance of Pastor Emeritus Lee and, you know, received the fruit of being a pastor of a church, of working for God's kingdom. And this wasn't done for free. It was because, you know, there was love for God. We were taught to love God first. We were taught to believe, truly believe in God, to rely on God. And when we became pastors and we received God's missions and work, we were able to stand firm and work for God's kingdom with great joy. And sometimes I have conversations with my sisters that, you know, Father God guarantees overflowing grace and blessings and joy and works of power. And of course, for me personally, I always put in 100% effort, 110% effort. You know, I don't like it when I don't put in all my effort. If I don't, you know, sweat, then I'm not impressed because it shows that I haven't put as much effort as I could have. And, you know, whatever it is I do, whether it's for God's kingdom, I always put in 110%. And with President Bucknam Lee not here anymore, I led my first three-week special Daniel prayer just before the summer retreat. And of course, you know, I wasn't tired at the time, but of course it does, you know, take a lot of effort. And, you know, Pastor Mio Lee said that, you know, even though we are lacking in various areas, that we will do the three-week special Daniel prayer meeting. However, I did tell her that, no, it's fine. You know, it's part of the justice that I must put in. And Father God always pours, you know, more than the amount of effort that I've put in, and guarantees more blessings. you know, it guarantees more reaping than what I've sowed. And the abundance of all this fruit that we were able to reap, you know, I realize that a lot of it comes from Pastor Emeritus Lee's sowing. All the sowing that Pastor Emeritus Lee did in order to receive God's word, to receive the gospel of holiness. You know, I offered great thanksgiving to God for all this reaping. You know, if you think about church members, if you've got a family and you pray so fervently for your family, but you don't pray as much for God's kingdom, then this is something that you need to reflect upon, because you need to put in the effort to sow spiritually and for God's kingdom so that you can receive good blessings as well. By sowing faithfulness, you reap the blessing of health. By sowing worship and prayer, you reap the blessing of a prospering soul. And by sowing financially, you also reap material blessings. Believing that what is sown in spirit will be reaped as the fruit of the spirit, our church members diligently sow with the Lord, not sowing for the perishables of the world, but sowing everything for the glory of God and reaping blessings in spirit and in body. And the final harvest will be eternal life and heavenly glory. What do worldly people sow? As they don't know about the spiritual realm, worldly people sow to the flesh and reap from the flesh. They eagerly sow again and again for lusts and pleasures, wealth, honor, and power, things the world considers of importance. But the fruit of these is vanity and death. No matter how much people sow or the reaping seems good, in the end, everything decays and perishes. Our church members know about the eternal things that do not perish. So we sow in spirit and reap to enjoy true blessings. This is a great blessing. It's always important to keep this in mind whilst listening to the law of sowing and reaping. Don't focus on material blessings, but let your soul prosper first so that material blessings can naturally follow. In line with justice, God is pleased and allows you to reap an abundant harvest when you sow in faith with the work of the Holy Spirit. May today's messages become spiritual food. And I pray in the name of the Lord that many testimonies of blessings will overflow in your lives. Last week, we looked at four steps to abundantly reap what is sown. First, you must cultivate your heart field. Second, you must keep the Lord's Day holy and offer complete tithes. Third, you must not ask with greed. Fourth, you must walk the right path. Have these messages so far become spiritual nourishment? Continuing from last week, to reap overflowing blessings from what you've sown. Fifth, you must sow a lot. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6 to 7. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. No matter how wide a farmer's field, the farmer can only reap what's been sown. For example, if a farmer has an acre of good fertile field, will he automatically harvest from the whole acre? Of course not. The farmer can only reap according to the amount of seed sown. No matter how large the land, if a small amount of seed is sown, then the harvest will be small. If sown on half an acre of land, then the harvest will only be half an acre accordingly. Since the seed was sown on good soil, the yield will be greater than seed sown from barren land of the same size. But no matter how fertile the soil, if you only sow half an acre, then you cannot reap a harvest of a whole acre. You must spiritually sow with diligence. When you sow a large amount, that's when you can experience true blessing. For example, let's say you sow $10 and God blesses you twofold. God may give it to you financially or protect you from losses due to sickness or calamity. But doubling $10, which is $20, may be trifle in experiencing blessings, even if it is from God. But if you sow $10,000 and God gives you twofold, you'll be able to quickly recognize that it was God who blessed you. Some people say that, you know, they sowed, you know, a certain amount of money in a place where they think that God is pleased with. You know, they volunteer financial aid. And of course, this is important. It's part of the law of sowing and reaping. But, you know, some people say that if they sow here, God will bless them. Because it's a place where God is pleased with. God's pleased with the sowing. And like I said, you know, doubling $10, which is $20, it's, you know, there's not a lot of difference. But some people have professed that they've sowed, let's say, $300, and they were able to see and experience the true blessing from God because of the great amount reaped. And, you know, God protects you not just financially in terms of receiving, you know, physical money, but protecting you from certain, you know, incidences or accidents that would have cost a lot of money. For some church members, we hear that, you know, through Muan Sweet Water or, you know, from sowing, they were able to reap electronics, that their old washing machines or old locks that were suddenly not working. They would pray, they would receive the reaping of, you know, allowing it to work again. So it's a good tip to pray before you buy like an expensive white goods that cost, you know, a lot of money in bulk. And, you know, sometimes you've got white goods where you are unable to place it under warranty or exchange it. Same thing with moving house. You know, in order to move house, it's good to always pray before you search for another house. Of course, I'm not saying you've got to pray a lot on it, but, you know, wisely choose the amount of time. That's not too long to pray for, you know, expensive items that you may need to buy or when you move houses. And all of this working smoothly and being prosperous is receiving the fruit from God. Of course, you can't say that you've sown a lot simply because it's a large amount. What God desires to receive through the offering is not the actual material. God is the creator of all things in heaven and earth, and gold is His and silver is His. Why would God need more financial materials? What's more important than the material itself is the fragrance of your heart. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. God desires to receive the heart contained within your offering. If you sow with a boastful, reluctant, or grudging heart, then it's not an offering God desires. With a heart of thanks, faith, and love for God's grace, you must sow with all diligence. You know, if you have a heart where you want to sow, but you also want to sow before people so that you can receive recognition, then that's not the kind of sowing that God desires. In Mark 12, Jesus watches people putting offerings into the sanctuary treasury. The wealthy proudly put in their offerings and displayed how much they gave. And, you know, even if you were to put in a lot of offerings, you know, you should have, you know, God wouldn't say anything if you were to place a lot of offerings, but almost kind of hide it so it doesn't become a discouragement or you know, an envious event for other people who weren't able to put as much in. Then a poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins as her offering. This was a very small amount and, you know, barely enough to buy a loaf of bread. When Jesus saw this unfold, he said that the widow had put in more than all the others. While others gave a portion of their abundance, the widow gave all that she had to live on. You know, it's not that she had a lot of money to live on. This was all she had. This was, you know, the last of her living expenses. Though it seemed a very small amount compared to others, it was a substantial amount for the widow. After offering the 2 coins to God, the widow may have nothing left for food. How wonderful is this widow's heart, the widow who gave all she owned voluntarily. Because her offering carried the fragrance of a wondrous heart, it pleased God than the offerings from the wealthy. It's why Jesus says she had given the most. It's important to give with joy and wholehearted devotion and do your best with gratitude and faith. Then God can bless you abundantly. When you give out of genuine love for God, it may seem like you've given everything and have nothing left. But God will provide so that you can give more. He blesses your financial needs and other life's needs, which means you lack nothing. You know, it's the same with your health. When I put in 110% of my effort, sometimes I say that, you know, I put in so much effort that there's no tomorrow. You know, as if today was my last day. And sometimes, you know, I have moments where fleshly thoughts appear and I think, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow when I've literally spent all my energy on today's meetings and today's schedule? What's going to happen tomorrow? But of course, I, you know, set aside all those fleshly thoughts. And God always blesses me with good energy the next day. And it's always great to offer up all of this effort to Father God. And when a wise person always sows diligently in faith and does not miss special opportunities for God-given blessings, because it's really important that there are various feasts and seasons when God pours out abundant grace and blessings, you know, in particular. They're like, you know, Christmas, New Year's, certain Thanksgiving services. So even if God prompts you to a certain project, He will surely reward you with blessings if you follow His guidance and give as promised. Christians who trust in God's blessings never miss special opportunities. It's the same for, you know, the New Year's service. The New Year's Eve service is a service where you place everything in God's hand for the new year. You know, it's believing in God who blesses you throughout the year. You prepare your vessels of faith. Special services like Easter, the Pentecost, Thanksgiving, Christmas, they only occur once every year. For the accompanying seasonal offerings, you don't give whatever's available at the time, but prepare in advance and offer your best. believing in the God who rewards according to what's sown. When you sow with joy and wholehearted devotion, God blesses according to the level of faith. But there are unfortunate instances where some people seek material blessings at seasonal or special opportunities for sowing. Some people fail to show much faith. You know, these people, they want and they need to receive blessings, but they don't sow at special opportunities, at seasonal opportunities. They don't demonstrate faith before God. Of course, some might say that they cannot give because they lack an income. Reaping according to what's sown is God's justice. So even if you have nothing now, you must still show your faith with utmost devotion to receive blessings. It's not about sowing a large amount, but offering with the fragrance of your heart. Consider this. Let's compare. You know, it's not about offering a large amount. It's about offering with the fragrance of your heart. Let's compare person A, who has $10,000 and gives $1,000 to God, as opposed to person B, who has $100 and gives $100 to God. Which offering carries a deeper fragrance of the heart? Of course, $100 is a lesser amount than $1,000, but when I see a person showing faith with wholehearted devotion, you know, I'm moved and pray more earnestly. How much more would you receive if your actions move God? There are many who long for blessings but fail to prepare the vessels to receive the blessings. God pours His blessings into prepared vessels. These prepared vessels mean to be cultivated according to God's will. Among the vessels, sowing greatly in faith means preparing a large vessel, and sowing reluctantly results in a small vessel for blessings. Some people decide to give less because they'll, you know, give offerings again soon. They calculate and keep track. How much loss would you encounter if you calculate every blessing and answer God gives you? I hope you'll all give with joy and thanks for the grace of salvation, the grace of being protected in a world full of trials, the grace of health, the grace of healing, the grace of transformation and faith, the grace of hope for heaven, and the grace of receiving blessings according to what's sown and be given heavenly rewards. This way you can receive and enjoy abundant blessings. To reap overflowing blessings from what you've sown, sixth, your faith and deeds must not waver. If a farmer sows many seeds but sees no fruit after several months and stops cultivating or plows up the field, what will happen? All the labor up to that point would have been in vain. Once you have sown, you must diligently tend to it until the harvest, and not only sow one kind of seed, but various kinds with diligence. If you cultivate rice, beans can also be sown around the paddy field. In the garden, vegetables like lettuce, peppers, corn, or sweet potatoes can be planted. Some people grow bean sprouts at home. Some crops take a year to harvest, while others only take a few months. Bean sprouts can be eaten in just a few days. What takes a year to harvest must be cultivated for a year. Roots like ginseng must be tended to for more than 4 years. Crops harvested short term bring smaller returns, and crops that require a long waiting period yield greater value. It's the same for when you pray to God and receive answers at every opportunity, so diligently in various ways. Believe that what you sow will surely be given back His blessings. The timing of everything rests in God's hand. He'll repay with the best at the most perfect time. When it takes longer, the fruit will be that much greater. James 1 verse 6 to 8. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. After sowing and cultivating to some extent, some people complain when they don't receive as desired. Before God, You must act in faith and desire to receive a reward in all things. This reward is given at a time and in a way God deems best. You shouldn't calculate and ask God to bless you in a certain way because of what you've given. Even if God were not to give blessings, we should give because we love Him and are thankful. But as God has promised blessings, we ask in faith with the desire to glorify Him. The attitude of complaining and thinking the answer is taking too long only drives the answer further away. Let's say you needed to read 100 in your measure of faith to receive answers. If you pray and act diligently in faith, reaching up to 60, but then suddenly lose 20, what will happen? This is when you need to reach 100. But you reach up to 60 and then suddenly lose 20. Then you must labor more to refill what was lost. If you fill and spill again, how much more will the answer be delayed? If you stop altogether, what you've done before cannot be reaped as fruit. And it's not just with sowing and reaping, but it's also with your Christian life. You know, getting rid of sin. Let's say that you've put in all this effort to get rid of a specific sin, and a lot of it has disappeared. And you've reached the point where you pretty much have stopped sinning in action, and you know only got a bit of the sin left in your heart. And then because you've stopped sinning in action, let's say you stop putting in the effort to get rid of the sin in your heart as well from the root. Then what happens? It goes back to normal. If you downslide, if you backslide, then, you know, you have to put in that much more effort to go back to where you were before. So when you fill and then you spill, all of this would be for nothing. You know, you cannot reap fruit from what you've done before if you continue to spill. If you've been sowing for material blessings with faith and building up deeds that please God, you must continue with faith until the end. The moment you question why God doesn't bless you despite your hard work and complain, this attitude weighed on the scale of justice shows that your faith is lacking. Next, whatever you've decided to give before God, you must give as vowed. What you plan to give must not be changed for personal benefit, nor should you break a vow. Leviticus 27 commands when dedicating livestock to the Lord as a vowed offering, it must not be exchanged, even for something better. You know, if you vowed to offer certain livestock to God, and when it's time to offer it up to God and suddenly a better livestock appears, you know, it must not be exchanged. Once you say you'll give this, you cannot change and give something else instead. Psalm 15 verse 4 says that even if one swears to his own hurt, he must not change. Ecclesiastes 5 verses 5 to 6, it is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Do not let your speech cause you to sin, and do not say in the presence of the messenger of God that it was a mistake. Why would God be angry on account of your voice and destroy the work of your hands? Though you have nothing now, there are times when you earnestly desire to give and make a vow. Even then, you must not act with your own thoughts, but under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. It must not be done grudgingly, nor should it be led by personal greed or zeal. Even if a vow is made with personal thoughts, once vowed, it must be kept. If there's a vow that you've made but not fulfilled, you must first carry out the vow and break down the wall created with God by not fulfilling the vow before seeking other blessings. In order to receive blessings, you must not have a wall of sin with God. But the fact that you vow but didn't fulfill it, this becomes a wall of sin with God. And if you don't break this, then it impacts negatively on your blessings. And not just with receiving financial blessings, but answers as well to your heart's desires. There may be difficulties in keeping the vow if it was made with fleshly thoughts, but once you keep the promise, you'll receive blessings beyond what you've sown. Dear brothers and sisters, the living God is all-knowing and all-powerful with the ability to give all that you ask, whether it's good health, finance, honor, peace, and harmony in the family, wisdom or understanding, whatever you desire, if you sow and cultivate according to God's will, you can receive abundant answers. I pray that you'll all meet the good God by trusting and loving God and abiding in the truth. May you receive answers to all that you ask and reap 30, 60, even 100-fold from what you sow.
Hallelujah. Our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses, go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu, go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and nausea. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis, go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat, go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.